And joining me right now here on a Thursday, as he always does, this guy does a great job with the Florida Today newspaper. He's Mr. 321 and Mr. 904. He's Tim Walters. Cue his music.
There's no I in team, but there is in Tim.
How's bowling going on Monday then?
Not very good.
I talk about it on my podcast. I love it when a plan comes together.
Tim Walters, we've not talked in a while. How you doing, buddy?
No, Mark, I'm glad you're doing okay. Back on the air. I'm here having a good time. It's a little dreary in the 3-2-1 today, but by the weekend, it's going to be beautiful again. I'm always looking forward, never looking back, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And I appreciate the kind words, and it's good to hear from you. And I thought of you, and I'll start with this. So last Sunday, I went to the Orlando Magic game as a fan, and I took my sister. We had a really, really nice time. And when I was walking around that concourse, and I was seeing those food vendors, I thought of the great Tim Walters. Because these food vendors, it's just very basic. You know, here's your pizza. Here's your burgers. Tim, next season at the Kia Center, we need to add your lineup that you bring up every single year with the, you know, the Franz fries. We need to do this for real. So I think when we go to Media Day next year, I think we get in front of the team and we show them your menu. We got to do it.
Mark, I think that's actually a fantastic, a great idea. You know more people over there at the Magic than I do. So if you can make it happen, I will print out my menu and I'll bring it for them. So it'll look like the Orlando Magic restaurant. And we're going to get behind the Palo Banquero Ranchero Burrito and everything else wonderful on the menu.
Here's what we should do. We should film it where we go to Media Day and then we interview the different players and ask them their thoughts on, like, if we'll go to Franz Wagner. What do you think of the Franz fries? And we'll get their actual reaction. Let's do this, Tim. Let's make a pact. Next September, we will go there to the practice facility, and we will make this happen.
Mark, I am down.
I am down as well. They have two games left in the regular season. Not looking good right now. I know they're going to be in the postseason play. My question for you is, this is very basic. They're going to be in the postseason. Is this a win for the organization, especially after the last decade of just losing basketball?
Oh, of course it is. I mean, look, it's showing that they've got, I mean, look, Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero are, you know, they're both very young guys, second year. Finally, you know, they're gelling early. Jalen Suggs has been one of the best defensive players in the league. They're back in the playoffs. It's been a while. So I think it's a great thing. It's something to build off of. You know, it's something to be positive about. And you're right. They've struggled the last couple of games. But that's okay. I mean, look, they had an easy stretch on their schedule where they played, what, about 25 games at home. Then they had to hit the road, struggled a little bit. That's okay. Still, you know, they're tied for that five seed with Indiana. So, you know, I think that, I mean, look, let me ask you, Mark. Let's say they get the five seed. Would you rather play Milwaukee or would you rather the six seed and play Boston? I think I'd probably at this point because, and I know Milwaukee's playing better, but I'd still rather play them than Boston. So, you know, hopefully they can lock down that number five seed. They're only a game up on Philadelphia. If they lose their last two and Miami wins its last two, there's a chance some things can happen there. But right now, clinging to that five seed, they got to hang on. Wouldn't mind seeing Milwaukee, and maybe their struggles will come back during the playoffs.
It was tough last night. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't play for Milwaukee, so you're like, okay, maybe the Magic can win. No, they get destroyed. It's okay. Milwaukee still has that pedigree of winning, and you got Damian Lillard. Two games ago, you're at Philly Friday. Then you have Milwaukee, an early game on Sunday at home. My thing is, all right, you're in. I'm just clinging. Hey, get maybe the four seed. Get home court in round one. This team is so much better at home compared to the road, but you can say that about any team in NBA basketball. So I agree with you. You have been covering, so to make sure I have the timeline right, how long have you been working for the Florida Today newspaper then?
I started in October 2002, so I'm coming up on 22 years.
So you had, you know, here on the coast with Magic Basketball, you saw Dwight Howard, but even when they had Howard, they weren't good at first. It took a couple years. And then you had, you know, 08, 09, 10, 11, right? And then they made it in 19 and 20, but they weren't really that good. So it's what's sad, how long you've worked at the Florida Today as a great, you know, newspaper guy. They really haven't been good a lot of times for how long you've been there.
Oh, no, and I've been watching this team since their start in 1989. Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen the ups. I've seen the downs. You know, I've seen Shaq come and, you know, get them to the finals and then, you know, live through it where they think they're going to sign Tracy McGrady and Grant Hill and all is going to be great. And you paid Grant Hill $800 million to not play over 10 years or whatever it was. Obviously, I'm inflating those numbers.
Yes.
But, you know, I've felt the pain. You know, I think a minute ago I was given the wrong seeds, Mark. I was thinking that 1 through 6, but actually the Magic would be playing Cleveland right now if they stay with that fifth seed. So I'd almost rather play the Knicks. I have less faith in the Knicks than I do the Cavs team. I think they're really good. But anyhow, regardless, it has not been, you know, over 35 years too much to celebrate. But, you know, we've been to the finals twice. Shaq and Dwight Howard both lost. Maybe Paolo in a year or two as he continues to build his powers. And Franz Wagner, I love this team, and you know, maybe they'll continue to build on it.
I'll put you on the spot, Tim Walters. Have you ever been to an Orlando Magic playoff game before?
No, I have not. I was just talking to my wife about that the other night. I said we need to go to a playoff game, so. I would love to.
When's the last time you went when your daughter, or what was it, your wife, like the when they were singing the anthem?
Yeah, and that would have now been last season. They were supposed to do it this season, but the night they were scheduled, Mark, and remember, we schedule these things out you know, a long time in advance. It ended up being that date ended up being the night they retired Shaq's number. So they went and got, something, you know, more in the way of celebrity to sing it that night.
Boo.
So the kids have to take a back seat for now.
Boo! Yeah, all right, we're going to do that in Media Day next year. Yeah, Magic, like we said, Philly Friday, that's not going to be easy. Then that, I like this. I'm going Sunday. A matinee NBA basketball game starting at 1 p.m. I like this. I wish we did more of this, Tim.
Oh, I wish more things happened early in the day. It's all friendlier for newspaper deadlines, too. I remember being out in Hawaii where college football games were starting at like 8 o'clock in the morning. It was delightful.
That does sound delightful. And it appears we're both old men. We get giddy over this stuff. We're here at Tim Walters, Florida Today. All right. I got a text from you a couple weeks ago where I think you got recognized at a bowling alley. What happened?
Well, not just any bowling alley. I'm in a bowling league, Mark. I love my Shore Lanes bowling alley, but yes, somebody, their team was bowling against us. He saw the name, asked if I was the guy that was regularly on the Mark Moses radio show, and I said I was. He was a very nice fella, and I appreciated him actually recognizing my voice because, I don't know, I don't see myself as somebody that people want to come up and say good job to, but he did, so I appreciate that.
All right, let's clarify this. So you're playing the bowling. You're hitting a strike, and then what did you do? The DX, suck it, and then you start yelling at the other team? And the guy's like, hey, that guy sounds like Tim Walters. Is that what happened?
That's exactly how it happened, but it was more like Chris Farley doing cartwheels, although I guess I'm not the size of Chris Farley. But still, yeah, I got a strike. I did like a backflip double somersault into a screw you, and he was like, hey, that's Tim Walters. Cue the music.
Do you fist pump after throwing a strike?
No, because I throw so many more bad balls than strikes. I don't want to be the guy that celebrates when he's all not all that good. And trust me, I'm probably in the lower 20% of bowlers in my bowling league.
After you got recognized, was there pressure to perform better on the bowling lane?
No, because like I said, I know I stink, so there's never any pressure on me.
You're being so modest and humble now. I don't believe any of this. I don't believe not one bit of this. We're here with Tim Walters with the Florida Today. I appreciate that text you gave me. I've not had a lot of fun over the last couple weeks. That put a smile on my face. That's right. I like it. All right, let's go to the NFL then. We talked about this yesterday, but you do a great job covering the Jacksonville Jaguars. They announced out of nowhere where Josh Allen, 26 years old, gets the 5-year contract extension. I think it's $88 million guaranteed. What's your thoughts on this deal for the Jaguars' best defender?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. 5 years, $150 million, $88 million guaranteed. Last year, he set the franchise single-season record for sacks. He's going to get the all-time team record. He got the biggest contract in team history. That's going to be surpassed by Trevor Lawrence in the next year or so, if not sooner. But they needed to keep him. He needs to be a Jaguar for life. He's the engine that makes that defense go. And you know what, Mark? He's just a really nice dude. You know, if you see him, he looks like a scary wrestler. But then when you talk to him, it's just like, this guy's pretty cool. And so he's always good to the media. He's probably good to his mama. And now he got the contract he deserves. You love seeing guys that earn it, that just grind, that work hard. And that's Josh Allen. So I couldn't be more happy for him. Like I said, you know, I've dealt with him the last couple of years. And people who have been around him basically since his rookie year say he's just always been the same guy. He's going to come out there. He's going to be a good team guy. You know, he's got, I think it's 45 sacks in his, you know, his first 5 years in the league, or 4 years in the league. I'm sorry. So, you know, he's a superior talent. He's a great mentor to, you know, his young partner on the other side, who was the number one draft pick a couple of years ago. And I just can't say enough good things, how happy I am for him. And, you know, like I said, Shad Khan, he recently sold his yacht to Kismet for $199 million. So he's got a little money to spend on some players right now.
All right. Was this the right move for the Jaguars?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. I think he needed to be back. And, you know, look, like I said, they're going to have to shell out big money for Trevor Lawrence. So they had to get this done. But if there's one guy on defense, one guy that they needed to keep, it's certainly him. And he's going to be worth the money. You said he's 26. You know, he's going to be 27 in July when he starts. He's hitting his physical prime, and he's just incredible. And plus, with the way the money works in the NFL, the salary cap's actually going to go up next year. So it was better to get him locked into a deal now when you have certain parameters, because if you waited another year, you might have had to give him another, you know, $30 million if you kept him on the franchise tag this year. And plus, again, you're going to have to sign Trevor Lawrence. And then you've got some other guys you're going to have to come to contracts with next year. So getting this done now was super key, because after Trevor Lawrence, you're looking at Travis Etienne. We know the running back position's been really devalued, but you probably want to keep him on defense. Two of your stars, Tyson Campbell, Andre Sisco, are coming up. So there's a lot of moving parts with this Jaguars team. So if there was one giant contract you needed to get done before the franchise tag deadline here in June, it was him. He's here. He's going to be a Jaguar well into his 30s. And the team, the city, everybody should be happy about that.
Okay. There are no wrong answers to what I'm going to ask you right now. We're here at Tim Walters, Florida Today, talking about Josh Allen's new contract with the Jaguars. 5-year deal. Do you think he stays on the Jaguars for 5 straight years?
I would say he'll be there at least 3 of those years.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
if they continue to do well and contend, yeah, I think he'll be there for 5 years. Because by then you're not afraid at the end of the contract of losing him to free agency, because you're losing a 32-year-old to free agency. You're not going to get much trade value out of him, you know, or you know, if he's happy there, you can sign him to a much smaller contract. Maybe he plays 3 more years and finishes career there, which you'd like to see. But I think that you at least get 3 years out of this deal. I don't think that they would sell him along the way unless Trevor Lawrence truly doesn't pan out. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff there, but I think you try and keep him there at least over the next few years, because I think you're going to contend. But now you got to see what you can do against Houston and C.J. Stroud and Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. And, you know, so there's a lot to look at there. But, yeah, I think he'll be there 3/5 of the contract at minimum.
I don't think he'll be there for 5 years. I can't get through. I'm trying to get to Friday. And it's like 5 years. You know, the NFL, things are constantly changing. I said this also about the Magic, where, you know, Jamal Mosley, who I really like, and I think he should win Coach of the Year. He signed the 4-year contract extension earlier, I'd say about, what, a couple weeks ago? in the NBA with a head coach, you're not staying for 4 years. That doesn't happen unless you're Greg Popovich or, you know, Miami's coach, Spoelstra. Like, it's an eternity in pro sports now, 4 or 5 years. I'm with you. I like the three. I think the 3 years is good. You bring up Houston, Tim Walters. Is Houston the favorite to win that division next year in the AFC South?
Oh, how can they not be? I mean, I just think that C.J. Stroud took the lead by storm last year, but he's also got a great young wide receiver. They just brought in a great wide receiver. You know, they bring in Mixon, the running back from the Bengals. Singletary had a really nice year last year, so you got a 1-2 punch. Your defense is good. Your number three overall pick right after Stroud last year, the defensive end, he had just a stellar year. So, you know, and as they were forming their second or third game together, their third game together, they shellacked the Jaguars 27-17. So, I mean, you can just see that they've got a bright future, and maybe it's looking brighter than the Jaguars right now.
I would not have said that a year ago. Does it anger you then that the Houston Texans 2 years ago were the worst team in football, and now they might be Super Bowl contenders? Are you jealous of this?
Of course. Who wouldn't be jealous of that?
That is wild. It really is. Okay. I know you talked on your podcast this week about the Florida Gators. They have the spring game coming up on Saturday. What are your expectations for the spring game, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I talked to David Whitley, the columnist for the Gainesville Sun, and he's great to talk to. He's also very witty. He fit in great with your show if you ever need somebody to talk to from Gainesville, but about several things. And he put a lot of things in a perspective that a columnist might see that you might not see other places. So, number one, I was talking to him about looking at, you know, Graham Mertz, who's the incumbent starter, six-year guy, 23 years old, and DJ Lagway, the five-star quarterback recruit. You know, he's the biggest savior since Tim Tebow coming in. You know, he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. And David said that there's just one simple reason why Graham Mertz will be the starter this year. And he said that, you know, Lagway should just be fitted for, he should be getting fitted for his tuxedo for prom right now. And so when you walk into the quarterback room at 18 years old and you've got a 23-year-old in his sixth year, it's like Graham Mertz is taking calculus and he's taking pre-algebra. He said it's just taking over a complicated college offense is that hard. Now, does that mean if the Gators start off 2-4, you might not start seeing Lagway? But David thinks it's going to be more like with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, where if you remember the year they won the national title, people seem to forget Chris Leak was the leader of that team. He was a good, serviceable starting quarterback, and they would just bring in Tebow to be more of a gimmick. Now, the Lagway, I don't know if you've seen this guy. I haven't seen him in person, but I've seen pictures of him. He looks like, I don't know, he looks like a minotaur almost. It's like, I don't know if I'd want to tackle that guy, and he's a quarterback. So he's got phenomenal size. He's got just a magnificent arm. He's very accurate. And so I think as he learns this offense, there's a lot there. The other thing to watch for, obviously, last year the defense was just, I believe David referred to it as a tire/dumpster fire.
Oh.
So they've changed a lot on defense. So there's a lot to watch there. So in the orange and blue game last year, the defense actually played pretty well, and then they commenced to have just an awful season. So, you know, you got to see how the changes on defense are going to go. And then, you know, the offensive line was a big problem. If it wasn't for the defense being so bad, people might have noticed how bad the offensive line was. So there's been a lot of changes there. And then Billy Napier with the play calling, is he going to be getting some help with that? So there's a whole lot to go there. If you want to hear a great interview, check out the State of Florida Sports podcast. It's about a half hour long, and you can get it wherever you get podcasts. But David is great, and he answers a lot of questions.
Okay, here's the question I've been asking everyone this week. There are no wrong answers. Do you feel like right now, going to year three with Billy Napier, is there still optimism with the program, or is it like, this might get ugly this fall?
Yeah, and, you know, that's the hard part, Mark. You know, they've bought out so many of their previous few coaches. Do you want that much dead money? Although it won't be too bad. You buy them out for about $20 million. So there's that. the other thing is okay, let's say they struggle this year. There are two schools of thought here. Do you want Billy back next year so he could have a full year of DJ Lagway starting in his second season after a learning year? Or if they struggle this year, do you fire Billy Napier and use Lagway as the lure to bring in a superstar football coach? So I'm not sure what the answer to that is. I'm not sure what a home run college football coach is anymore, because it's more the luck of the NIL and, you know, the transfer portal more than it is recruiting anymore. So, you know, I like Billy. I'd love to see him get a fourth year. He's essentially playing his doppelganger to start the year when they play Miami and Mario Cristobal, who's got a much bigger buyout, by the way. But that first game is going to tell a lot for both of those guys, who's going to be trending up and who's going to be trending out.
That's a must win for Florida in game one. I the schedule is going to be daunting, but it'll be exciting to watch it. It will. I don't feel any optimism right now for the program. I don't. It's one of those. And this is going to be year 12 for me covering the team. And they didn't even get to a bowl game last year. And I just think it might be worse this year. We'll wait and see. I will tell you this. When DJ Lagway throws that football on Saturday, no one's going to be in the bathroom. No one's going to go get popcorn, right? Everyone is going to be watching that. And the minute he throws a ball like about 35 yards down the field for a completion, there are going to be 75 new podcasts breaking down how DJ Lagway did in the spring game. Would you agree with that, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. All of a sudden, people are going to become mechanics experts.
Yeah.
The receivers are going to be getting extra scrutiny for, were they in the right spot at the right time? Is this guy fast enough? It's going to be marvelous. And, you know, just looking ahead, Mark, this would be great for me because, look, you play Miami to open the season. If you win that, you have Samford, which hopefully you would defeat them at home. You get Texas A&M, who struggled last year at the Swamp. Maybe you get that win. Mississippi State, you're away. Let's say they win that. Then they're 4-0 against UCF. What do you think will happen there?
Oh, I will be at that game. That I do know. That's the guarantee. Okay? That'll be a big game for UCF. Before I let you go, during March Madness, we didn't get to talk. Did you do a bracket challenge for music? What did you do exactly?
Oh, ours was the jersey number challenge this year.
That's right.
And we got tens of thousands of votes. This was easily our most popular vote ever, a polarizing subject. But, Mark, the results, I have them, but I haven't released them yet. We have a nice big display coming. Because I'm working with a designer on it, it's actually not going to be in the newspaper till the 28th, and that's when the results will go online. And in that, you'll also get a breakdown of where jersey numbers actually come from. But more on that, Mark.
That was a good tease. I think that's pretty good. I like that. So that's the 28th at the end of the month. We'll get more information. What is your favorite number?
Well, I thought number 23 would win. I thought Michael Jordan's number would win. But in the round of eight, Jordan's 23, Babe Ruth's 3, and Tom Brady's 12 all went out in that round. So the final was between number 24 and number 44. So you're looking at Ken Griffey Jr., Willie Mays, Jeff Gordon, Barry Bonds for a portion of his career.
Yeah.
A lot of great number 24s. With 44, obviously, the main guy, Hank Aaron. There's George Gervin.
Reggie Jackson?
I can't think of the month. Go ahead.
Reggie Jackson, 44?
Reggie Jackson, yes. Yes, certainly. And so, and even Ricky Henderson for a portion of his career. Oh, wait, he wore 24. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's all laid out in the story. But for me growing up, it was 23, but for a different Chicago star. My favorite was Ryan Sandberg. Yeah. I always wore the 23 growing up for the Hall of Fame baseball player, who sadly is now battling prostate cancer. So prayers out to Rhino. But he was my favorite growing up, and it's still my favorite number for that reason.
I always like in the MTV Rockin' Jock softball game when Flavor Flav showed up and his jersey had 911. It said Flavor Flav. It's so stupid. Tim Walters, Florida Today. My man, thanks for your help and have a great day.
I appreciate it, Mark. And my jersey would have 3-2-1.